Well, if you have your Bibles, perhaps you'd like to turn with me again to the passage that you read from a few moments ago, Matthew chapter 13, this little series of parables of the kingdom that we find in this part of the chapter. And I want to concentrate this morning really on just one of those parables that we read, one which in my Bible at least has the title of the parable of the pearl of great price. And this is one of those passages of scripture where different commentators, different biblical scholars take different views. Some say that the merchant that we read about in the parable, well, that he represents the Lord Jesus Christ, and that the pearl of great price that he sought is the Christian church, or Christians generally. And others say, well, no, it's not that. Actually, the merchant stands for humanity. And the pearl is the Lord Jesus Christ, who is of great value, great cost, because he's the only saviour and the only redeemer. Now, I don't want to start a fight this morning, and I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but let me nail my colours to the mast straight away and tell you that I go with the second of those two interpretations, and I'll try and explain why that is as we go through the text, but actually I find it difficult to interpret in any other way, because we're told that the merchant was seeking beautiful pearls, pearls that were of great worth and great value. Now, I get it. I understand that the Lord Jesus saw our redemption as being of such great worth that he was willing to offer himself on Calvary's cross. He was willing to be that atoning sacrifice for our sins. But I also realise that in and of ourselves, we're utterly unworthy of that. We have no worth that could deserve his grace. We have no merit that could cause him to do that for us. Apart from the Lord Jesus, we have no hope. We have no eternal value. And our salvation was made possible not because we earned it, certainly not because we deserved it, but by his grace alone. So what I want to do for a few moments this morning is really to consider this great salvation that we read about here in this very small parable, this pearl of great price that the Lord Jesus makes available to anyone and to everyone who will put their faith and their trust in him. But before we get into the text, let's just pause to pray and to ask the Lord to speak to us through his word. Let's pray together. And Lord Jesus, we do now pray that in your sovereign power you take this word that speaks about you, and that you would bless it to each and every one of our hearts. Help us, Lord Jesus, to hear your voice speaking to us, and may we respond to it with faith and with obedience. And we pray this, Lord, not only for our blessing, but for your eternal glory. Amen. And so as we get into the text this morning, we find that, first of all, in verse 45, we read about a seeker. Jesus says, in verse 45, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls. And here, Jesus is speaking about a merchant, and this merchant is on the lookout for really special pearls. Maybe he wants to make them into jewellery or sell them on to people who will make them into jewellery. Maybe he just wants them as an investment, in the same way that perhaps today people put their money into things like gold as an investment. And so we can imagine that a man such as him would have been somebody who knew what he was doing. He knew what he was about. And no doubt, over the years, he bought and sold a great many pearls. And he knew instantly a good and special and valuable pearl when he saw one. He would have been that kind of guy with that kind of expertise. However, for all of that, for all of his career as a merchant, all that work of buying and finding and spending and then selling on, he still really hadn't found anything that could bring him complete satisfaction. And how do we know that? Well, we know because he was continuing to seek. In all of his years, all of the time that he spent on that particular activity, he hadn't found yet one pearl that was so special that the mere sight of it would satisfy all of his longings, all of his yearnings. And yet there was something in him that told him that what he was looking for was out there somewhere. And so as he travelled around, up and down the length and breadth of the land, he still continued to seek that one pearl, which when he found it, he knew would put an end to any further seeking. And you know, there are a lot of people around in 2019 who are just like that merchant. A lot of people who are always seeking but never quite finding what it is that they're looking for. That one special thing that would satisfy them and that would put an end to all of their search. Now there are some people who seek in all the various forms of religion, and they visit churches of one denomination or another, and they try anything from smells and bells all the way through to happy clappy. And when they've investigated all of that, maybe they'll go and they'll buy one of those books from W.H. Smith or from Waterstones that tells you about the power of crystals or how to contact your guardian angel or some such nonsense. And then there are others who try and satisfy all the longings of their heart by indulging themselves in all the pleasures that this life has to offer. They try things like food or drink, especially. They try things like drink, and if you've been in the centre of any of our towns or cities late in the evening on a weekend, you'll know all about the great crowds of drunken people that there are. And some even try to find what they're looking for by living lives of sacrificial service to others. And they think if I spend myself in serving other people, if I give money to charity, then surely that will lead me to feeling a complete and satisfied person. But in each of these cases, people fail to find what they're looking for because they're looking in all of the wrong places. There's nothing in this world that can satisfy the longing that people have deep down in their innermost being, because that need, that emptiness, is something that can be filled only by the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, like a great many people, even here in Colchester in 2019, this merchant in our parable was seeking for something. He was looking for something extra. He was looking for something more. Something that he didn't yet have, but something that he knew that he needed. And the Lord Jesus in his parable doesn't tell us how long this man had been seeking. He doesn't tell us where his search had taken him over the years. We don't know anything about the other pearls that he bought and sold. But as he looked for that one perfect pearl, we know that he hadn't yet found it. We know that his search was ongoing. And he was, as verse 45 tells us, a merchant seeking beautiful pearls. And in the course of that long search, he must have come across some rare beauties in his time. Some of the best pearls known to man must have passed before his eyes. Maybe he'd touched them, maybe he'd handled these beautiful, exquisite, valuable pearls. Pearls that had brought great pride and satisfaction to their previous owners. And yet, still, this man's search continued. This merchant was absolutely consumed with his quest for the one perfect pearl. And although he had no idea where it might be found, he knew in his heart that the moment he saw it, he would know it for what it was. And as we've already observed, there are a great many people around today, even here in our own community, maybe even here in this congregation this morning, who feel the same way. People who spend their whole life looking for what? Maybe even they can't tell you what it is that they're looking for. They can't put a name to it, and yet they know somehow that the minute they see it, they'll recognise it. And it will be that one thing that will bring purpose and peace and security into their hearts and lives. You see, even though it's become very unfashionable, very uncool to say it and to admit it, human beings are essentially spiritual beings. God made us in that particular way. He made us for himself. He created us to know him and to enjoy him forever, the old catechism says. And we would know him, we would enjoy him, if only our sin didn't get in the way and cut us off from him. Many hundreds of years ago, a very famous thinker called Augustine put it like this. He said that God has made us for himself and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in him. Our hearts are restless. And that's why people are just like this merchant in the parable, constantly looking, constantly seeking, constantly searching. That's why they try this and that and the other thing. That's why they abuse alcohol and drugs. That's why they drift aimlessly from one relationship to another. Our hearts are restless until they find their rest in that relationship with God that we were created to have. I was 19 years old when I became a Christian, when I was converted. And throughout, really, the whole of my teenage years, from the age of about 13 or 14 onwards, I knew that there was something missing in my life. Something that I needed to have but didn't have. And for a while, I believed that if only I could leave school, if only I could put my childhood years behind me and become an adult and go out into the world of work, well, my life would have purpose and meaning. And yet, when I finally left school and when I began work, I felt just as empty as I had before. Frankly, the work that I thought would give such purpose was actually boring. And so I thought, well, maybe it's because I don't have very much of a social life. And I noticed as I walked past all of the pubs and bars in the town where I was living at the time, Hitchin in Hertfordshire, well, there always seemed to be great gales of laughter coming out of those places. And I thought to myself, well, those people sound happy enough. And so I started going to pubs. I started having a drink, but I simply ended up broke, and sometimes with a terrible headache as well. But my search ended one Saturday evening when I saw some people walking into this little church that I was vaguely aware of, but really didn't know much about. And I thought, well, that's a bit strange, going into church on a Saturday. So I decided to follow them, and that evening I heard the gospel for the first time. It turned out that it was the final service in a whole week's mission that had been going on. And that evening I heard the gospel message for the first time. Well, I knew all of the facts about the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus. I knew about the manger that he was born in and the cross that he went to and the tomb that he vacated. And maybe I even accepted these things with the top of my mind. But that evening, I heard for the first time that the Lord Jesus Christ had gone to that cross for me. So that all of my sins, all of those things in my life that stopped me from finding my rest in the God who loved me and made me, all of those things could be forgiven and wiped away. And what I heard that evening, and what I did about what I heard that evening, changed not only the course of my life, but actually the course of my whole eternity. But up to that point, I'd been just like this merchant that we read about here. I've been searching and looking and seeking. I've been looking everywhere for what I knew I needed but couldn't find. And so here in this little two-verse parable that we're thinking about this morning, we read about a seeker and his search. But thirdly, we also read about a selection. Because in that continual, restless search, the merchant finally discovered that one pearl of great price. And we read about that in verse 46, and we see that there suddenly were no doubts, no questions in his mind. Immediately he knew that this was it. This was what he'd been looking for and searching for and seeking for his whole life long. This particular pearl which was prized above all others. And he'd never seen anything like it before. Nothing in his past experience could match it for its beauty or its worth. It was the discovery of a lifetime. And the merchant knew in his heart that that long, long, long search was at last over. Now, I mentioned at the beginning that I believe that this pearl represents the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, with that in mind, let me ask you if you've yet found what this merchant found. Have you yet found the one who exceeds all of the splendour, all of the worth of anything or anyone that you've ever encountered before. Because you see, as the Holy Spirit uses the Word of God to show us more and more about the Lord Jesus Christ, we begin to realise how wonderful He is. We begin to see that He alone can meet our need. That He alone can save our souls and reconcile us to God. That He is that pearl of great price. And when we come to Him, our search is over and we are overwhelmed with the joy of our discovery. Now I have to be careful not to stretch the biblical imagery too far, because none of us simply stumble across the Lord Jesus Christ in the way that this merchant seems to have suddenly stumbled across this pearl. No, the sovereignty of God leads us to Jesus, and He leads us through the direction of the Holy Spirit. And yet it's still true to say that in knowing Him we have what our innermost being has been longing for the whole of our lives. Even though we might not have realised it in the past, we were longing for Jesus. He is that pearl, and there is none other like Him. The Bible says, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And so there was a seeker who had been searching and looking and turning the place upside down, as it were, and there was a selection that he finally made as he saw that one splendid pearl. But then verse 46 also tells us that there was a sacrifice which he had to make. You read that when he found one pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. And so as soon as the merchant saw it, he immediately recognised the value of this one particular pearl. And he knew that he could never just walk away and let it slip out of his grasp. This was what he'd been looking for years and years and years, and he was willing to sell everything that he owned in order that he might possess this one single pearl. Because in his eyes, it was worth more than the combined value of everything else that he owned. Now again, we have to be careful not to misunderstand what the Lord is saying here, because he's not saying that somehow you and I can buy our salvation. The Bible tells us very clearly and very plainly that salvation is a free gift of God's grace. It comes to us by grace and through faith, so that none of us can boast. None of us can say, oh, I gave up £1 million in order to be saved. And so what the Lord Jesus is saying here in verse 46 is that the salvation and the new life that he offers must be sought and desired above everything else. Just like that pearl, knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Saviour is worth more than all of our other possessions combined. And you and I have to be willing to sacrifice everything and anything that would get in the way of our possessing that pearl of great price. Because Jesus alone secured our salvation when he died on that cross for our sins. He alone secured eternal life for all who trust in him as he rose again in victory. There is no one else like him. He alone is the Saviour. And so we have to be careful that we possess this pearl above anything else. Because knowing Christ is the single most important thing for each and every one of us. Everything else that we have in our lives is fleeting and temporary. Everything else will eventually wear out and turn to dust. But Jesus Christ offers us an eternal life which begins here and now as we put our faith in him, but which lasts forever and ever and ever in heaven in his closer presence. And nothing that this world can put forward can ever compare with that. You know, the Apostle Paul was somebody who, humanly speaking, had a great deal going for him. Whether it was his ethnic heritage, whether it was his family background, whether it was all his religious accomplishments. You know, he could say with the psalmist, and he could really mean it, that the lines had fallen for him in pleasant places. He was somebody who, at least on paper, had it all, or at least had a great deal going for him. But what was any of that when stacked up against knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as his Saviour? Nothing at all. Nothing. Listen to how Paul himself puts it in his letter to the Philippians. He says, "But what things were gained to me, things that I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things as loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith." Everything else, he said, is rubbish compared with knowing Jesus. And so, having thought about the seeker and the search and the selection and even the sacrifice that the seeker had to make, let's conclude by thinking about the security which that merchant found. And we read in verse 46 that when he had found that one pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Can you imagine for a moment the excitement that that merchant must have felt when he not only saw that pearl, but also when he was able to pay over the money and to be told in effect, "Now you are the possessor of this wonderful thing." He'd spent the whole of his life searching for it, and finally he'd found it and he was able to buy it. And so he liquidized all of his other assets and he paid over the money, and now no doubt the seller said something like, "Congratulations, now you are the owner of this pearl." And because he knew the value of that magnificent pearl, he felt secure. His future felt secure. He knew that he had a pearl which could provide for any need that he might face further down the line. That one valuable possession that he owned could deal with any eventuality, and it offered him unrivalled security. Now, We don't have to go out and make a high value purchase in order to realise that exactly the same is true for those who believe and belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who have been saved by grace possess something, or rather they possess someone who will meet every need that they will ever have for the rest of their lives. Now, that doesn't mean that Christians won't sometimes go through difficult times. Doesn't mean that suddenly we'll all be millionaires and we won't face the financial pressures that other people have to face. But it does mean that we have a saviour who will endure beyond the grave. One who will grant us access to heaven, where we'll spend the whole of eternity in the presence of that one who loved us and who gave himself for us. And there's absolutely nothing else that you and I own at the moment or could ever own in the future that could offer us that kind of security. The security of knowing that our eternal destiny is settled and safe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that nothing can ever snatch us out of his hands. Listen to how Jesus himself puts it. He says, I give them eternal life and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. And so I hope you agree that this little two-line parable that we've been thinking about this morning is a passage of great assurance, a passage of great comfort. But it's also a passage of great certainty for everyone who possesses that pearl of great price. But the question for each one of us in this room is simply this. Do I possess that pearl of great price? Do I know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Saviour? Not as the Saviour, but as my Saviour. Have I responded to that call to salvation, and have I turned away from my sin and put my faith and my trust in him? Or am I still searching in all the wrong places for something that can bring peace to my heart, for something that can do what really only Jesus can do? And if we are Christ's, if we have trusted him as our Saviour, then have we considered lately just what it is that we possess in him? Do we thank him every single day for his goodness and for his grace in our lives? And are we committed to sharing the good news about him with others so that they too can come and possess that pearl of great price? Amen.